Well, 68 was the Days of Future Past. So they started in the 60s with some really silly songs. It's Go Now. The big if of wisdom and found in Proverbs chapter 2. The big if. I could get real cognitive and heady here and talk about if-then statements and conditional statements, but I don't want to do that. But if you want that, I can talk to you later about stuff like that. But I just want to make this kind of real in a powerful way. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning in Proverbs, I pray that you allow us the privilege of sensing your presence as your Holy Spirit brings to our mind that which you're teaching us and that you have taught us, that you're weaving it together in the fabric of Lord Jesus in our lives. There will be something different as we came in this morning, that you allow us the privilege of being transformed by the Holy Spirit's renewing of our minds, that we'll be more and more like Jesus. He'll be high and lifted up not only in our lives and our homes, our families, and this church and our community, Lord, that people know we are significantly different. It's in his name we prayed, amen. Someone told you about a big sale, but you choose to go to it or not. You don't like that product or that company. Someone told you that they're going to give you a car, but you don't know if you want that car. It might be a good car, might not be a good car. You got maintenance issues. They give you a nice junker, and you get nickel and dime to death. So you have choices to make that are before you. We're all faced with all kinds of different choices in our lives. You have to choose whether or not to go out with that boy or that girl, whether to hold hands with them and how far you're going to go. You have to choose what type of people you're going to hang with. You got to choose what type of people you're going to work with. All these are choices before you. And you cannot say, Mama and Daddy made you do it and the devil made you do it. You cannot say that. Because you have to own your choices. It wasn't the medication. What? Yes, it was Flip Wilson. You! And you can't say it was the medication either. You have to own your own choices. And that's what's hard in our country this morning. And I tried my best to download the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly theme song. I did get it for a ringtone, but I couldn't get it to play here. So some of you were helping me. I was working on it. But our choices, there's good choices, there's bad choices, and there's ugly choices. And we've got to choose our path of life. And what's presented before us is wisdom. As I've gone through this book of Proverbs these last couple months, you see the choices that are before you, the wisdom choices that are clear and evident. To choose wisdom, to accept wisdom, or to ignore wisdom. The old saying is, rather to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. The bass that's up on the wall said, a little sign underneath it, if I kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't be up here. There are choices that we make in life. And sometimes the choices have nasty consequences. And we'll talk about that as we go through this passage of how the Lord deals with the consequences of our choices. But the most important choice that you've ever witnessed is right here. Sound, please. The classic understatement. I love that. I use that a lot in real life. It's just, he chose poorly. And he liked the pause there? I didn't notice it this time around. And how many of us choose poorly and have those kind of consequences? Now, this is obviously eternal life and death, but you have severe consequences because you chose poorly. And what's sad is we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Remember I tried to tell you guys, stop rescuing people? This is what you'd rescue them from, because he was always rescued his whole life until finally he made the poorest choice of all, and he lost his life. And that happens in real life. If we continue to rescue people from their foolish choices and never let them experience small opportunities of neglect or whatever. My daughter yesterday just shared with me, it's Friday, one of my, not a regret, but my biggest sadness is when my oldest daughter, Ashley, was starting to get on her own. She's, kind of living with us still, and she got her own dog, Toby. Toby was a basset hound. Toby loved to bay. I had a neighbor across the street that already reported me from my other dog, and so So we couldn't get the dog quite, and here we go. So she turned the dog back in. Well, apparently, I didn't know all this. I was going to rescue, because that's my heart. I want to rescue my daughter, Well, she turns the dog back in, and they did not refund her money. And this was a purebred. It's like $150. And Dad wanted to, what was it? I thought it was $200. Okay, it was a lot of money, yeah. $200. And it just broke my heart, I said, but I couldn't rescue her. And she told me Friday, oh, Dad, I'm glad you didn't rescue me. That was a good life lesson. All right, you know, because she had a good life lesson because I didn't rescue her. And I didn't, you know, and she, you know, you found her ring. She had lost her, was it a purity ring? Yeah, her purity ring. She lost her purity ring. And it was expensive. It was a true diamond. And Lori was cleaning the crack one day and found it here in the church. And I wanted to go out and buy a bubblegum one. It was under here. Oh, it was under the stage.
But it was when I was doing the crack, but when I got there.
Yeah.
That's why we couldn't find it.
And again, I wanted to rescue her and go out and buy another one. And the Lord says, stop rescuing. Because she had to learn to take care of her stuff. And she just shared with me how that was an important life. Those are important life lessons to learn. So we got to stop rescuing them, and then we got to choose wisdom. We got to continually give them opportunities to choose wisdom. And that's what the big idea of this passage is. Princesses and princes, when you choose wisdom, he will protect you. Who do you think that he is?
Lord
Jesus, yeah. Now, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2, but I want to give you a foreshadowing here. So keep your bookmark here in Proverbs chapter 2, and I want you to leap all the way to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Gelipen, chapter 1. And I find it fascinating. The Church of Corinth was the modern-day Las Vegas, the city of sin, and there's Christians there having a hard time leaving that in the past. There's a bunch of divisions in the church, a very immature church. But he leads with a lot of powerful wisdom. And here in verse 26 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says, brothers, and some translations say, brothers and sisters or beloved, think of what you were when you were called. We're going to talk about this later. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world to despise things that are the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Verse 29. So that no one who may boast before him. Verse 30, it is because of him, the Father, the Godhead, if you will, that you are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who has become for us what? Wisdom from God. He is our wisdom. Notice it goes on to say, he is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. There's nothing to boast about because Jesus is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. Right there. I don't have to twist anything, tell you what the Hebrew or Greek is. That's what it says. And when it says in the Proverbs, choose wisdom and he will protect you. You choose Jesus and he will protect you. He will guide your footsteps. He will say yes and no. What you have to do is listen. Now back to Proverbs again. First, you seek it. You seek the wisdom by storing it up, crying out, and searching out. Okay? Seek wisdom first. Verses 1 and 2, store it up. My son, my child, if you accept my words, receive them. Don't just shun them or put the hand up. Store up commands within you. Store them up. Treasure them. Turning your ear to wisdom. That's that listening. Paying attention. Applying your heart to understanding. These are choices. And notice the word if. It is there in the Hebrew. It's there in verse 1. It's there in verse 3. It's there in verse 4. If. You have a choice. And these consequences follow. The protection follows. So you store them up. Yesterday we took out, we had our men's breakfast here, and we took out a huge bottle of Pace Picante sauce. And it was moldy. Now, we had some choices. My first thought was, okay, I asked Michael, he's discovered it, so what was the date? Was it past the date? No, it was not past the date, so I had another choice now. Do we just scrape the mold off and not tell anybody? Now, I understand that salsa was invented so you couldn't taste the rancid meat. If that's true or not, I don't know. Maybe urban legend, there we go. I don't know what it is, but I do know I got five guys counting on me, right? So if they don't know, it won't hurt them, right? So it's a little mess. No, what did we do? What did we do? We threw it out. Now, if you knew me, that was very hard because I hate wasting food. My job on Saturdays growing up was eat all the leftovers. My parents grew up during the Depression, and my mom believed if you had enough food to throw out, you had enough. So I ate it. Okay, I hate throwing it out. And this is a whole, was it a gallon? 64 ounces? Maybe it was half a gallon. It was huge. It was huge, big one. And I said, okay, let's put it in the disposal so no one will see it. Huh? Yes. So I hope to clean the blades. That's all I can say. But I had a choice to make. So we could store up stuff and never use it, is my point. You could store up stuff, and what's it going to do? It's going to spoil and get rotten or dry out. You store up wisdom to use wisdom, not to keep it on the shelf. You store up wisdom to apply it. Oh, yes, what a waste. What a waste. And then you cry out of your soul. You cry out, verse 3, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. This is not something passive. Will you sit there in the lotus cross-legged position with your beautiful ums and yeah, and your mantra? No, you're actively pursuing the Lord Jesus through His Word. You're crying out to Him, I need wisdom here, Jesus, be my wisdom here. I want insight. I want to know what to do here. I won't say that, thank you. And then search out, verse 4. And if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure. Now we know that a local pastor happened to pass away searching for some treasure, but he was passionate about that, wasn't he? And that's the passion we need to have for the Word of God. Passion for wisdom, to search it out. It's not just, well, if I can look. I enjoy watching people look for things. It's in my bedroom. Where? I don't know. Look for it. Open the door, close the door. I didn't see it. Did you look? Yeah, I looked. Let's look again. Open the door. Go in the room. Go under the, look underneath things. Yeah, turn things. Yeah, look for it. I still didn't find it. And you walk in. Where was it? Right on the dresser, right there. Yeah, right where they didn't look. You know that. And you know me, if you've been with me any length of time, and it's just, again, this morning, Lord, where did I put that? And I'm talking out loud. So if you think I'm crazy, you can agree. I said, Lord, where did I put that? And boom, pops into my head. Oh, it's over here. Thank you. Boom. I was looking for the VBS staff meetings. I printed them up 2 weeks ago, and I knew I put them somewhere. And I just happened to watch the conspiracy theory where he comes into his house, and he sees something up. And who put the, oh, I did. That's me. That's me. Who moved this? I did. Oh, sorry. So, Lord, where did I put these? And I had this impression, looking in my briefcase, where I put some things. Normally, I don't put it there. Usually, I put it in exactly the spot, but it wasn't in that spot. So I asked for wisdom and insight. And I don't do this cavalier. And it's fun to see the answers. Plus, I like saving time. You know, I walk into a store, I ask for directions. I'm a Renaissance man, okay? But I want you guys to have that same passion for searching out the Lord, searching out His wisdom. You just don't go into it blinded and head. You know, I was talking to someone this week about, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you don't get the different results. It's like that circle on the wall for relieving stress. It says relieve stress here. You know, it doesn't work. And, of course, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about here. Just cry out to the Lord. Lord, this isn't working. This isn't working. I need your insight. Cry out to Him. Store it up to use it, not to soil it or spoil it. And then these ifs are fulfilled when you choose wisdom. If you accept His Word, if you cry out, if you search out, then verse 5 says a whole bunch of stuff follows. Then the protection follows, right? In general, 5 through 11. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And we don't like that. Let's run past that really fast because we don't like fear. You know what the word is for fear in Hebrew? You ready? It's fear. Same word as phobos, meaning terror. So how do you put that together with the love of God? Kind of fun conundrum there. But the truth is, the fear is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear that the Lord is in control and you draw closer, and that's the oxymoron in all this, you draw closer to the Lord in this fear. Remember, He lifts us up, and then perfect love does what? Casts out that fear. As you're drawn closer to the Lord in the fear, He says, do not fear, my child, we do. He lifts you up. He lifts you up. But where did it start? Start at the bottom. That you realize who He is and how awesome He is. And then as you mature in the Lord, that awesomeness, understand, wow, wow, look what you saved me from. And then you realize that reverent respect is too nice a term. It has to be a lot more profound than that. And I'll let the Lord deal with that with you, what it means. But a reverential respect is not just some, No, it's far more profound than that. But in general, do you see that verse 5, verse 6? For the Lord gives wisdom, James tells us as well. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Right? James said the very same thing. He quoted this probably. Verse 7, He holds victory in store. That's the same two words there that we had store earlier. For the upright. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless. Well, why my walk isn't blameless in Christ, it is. You're blameless in Him. You know what that sounds like? The Lord of the Rings. Okay. Okay. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. He does all this. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. Verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart. That's where Jesus resides, right? And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Those are some cool words. Just under protection on the outside and the inside. You're guarded like a fence. You're given wisdom. That's what is just in general, when you let Jesus be your guard, your forerunner, because He's our shield of faith. He's our shield of faith. So He's going to guard us when we choose wisdom. There's protection from the wicked. Do you see that in verses 12 through 15? Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose ways are perverse. Yes, there are perverts out there. Verse 13, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoicing in perverseness of evil, perversity. And 15, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We're setting up a new video surveillance system. And they already caught something already. The two young men come to our church area. What day was it? I can't remember what day it was on. I mean, earlier this week, didn't matter. Thursday, Friday, whenever you guys were here. It was even earlier. It was Friday afternoon. And they're out here, and they come around, and they sit at the picnic table, and one of the guys is at an iPhone, so he's watching a movie, and they're sitting next to each other. And we had placed out there, one of the kids from across the street lost their little reindeer stuffed animal. And it had been moving around, so I put it, thinking they'd come back, I put it on the picnic bench. Well, guess what? When they came, they saw it there too, and they kept being tempted by it and looked at it. And then the other boy who didn't have the video or the iPhone or whatever phone it was, smartphone, he kicks the thing, tries to go over the fence, grabs it back, kicks it again, and then he hands it to the other kid, and then the other kid takes it over. Who thinks of this? The deviousness. He rips the head off. He rips the stupid little stuff down, he rips the head off. And then he tries to hide his sin. This was the cool part. And we got him. So by the little over, but yes, by the little playhouse over here, the kids one, by the step slide that comes down, he buried it in the pea gravel there.
No way.
So, John, was it Ben? Who went with you?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. Yeah, you guys went. They went out there and they showed the kids. They pulled it and brought it back from the dead, and they put it on the picnic table. I don't know if the kids come back yet, but you know what? It's sitting on the picnic table now. But the deviousness of this, I don't get this. What possesses somebody? We know it's the enemy. To throw rocks at windows at a church. Or just, we were tagged years ago by a gang. They tagged our doors. And then this guy just burned out. It was after 10 o'clock, we figured, okay? Because we got the camera up till 9 o'clock, and he no marks yet. But somehow, he did his little rooster tails and spinning out here at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And that's no damage per se. But there's other things that people are evil. They plot evil. That's why we pray for our president. There's just some stuff you're wondering who they're listening to. It's amazing. It's like they're all reading. Have you ever seen those clips where they show them five or six stations and they're all saying exactly the same thing? I was a police officer, my dad was, but I was trained for undercover. They teach you interrogation. And if people are saying the same thing, what do you assume? No, it's collusion. They've rehearsed it. They've rehearsed what they're to say during the interrogations.
To make it look so
true. Yes. So when the teacher discovered the four boys were late for school, and they all agreed, okay, let's say it's a flat tire. So they get in there and it's okay, teacher, we had a flat tire on the way to school. Cool, which one? They didn't know. They all disagreed on which one because they only colluded to that they got a flat tire. They didn't figure it out. So she caught them. But the point being is that there are people out there who are devious. And yeah, if you're not paranoid, it's okay to be paranoid because they're out to get us. You know, they're out to get the children of Jesus. And we've got to remain strong, and we choose wisdom. And what happens? He protects us. He protects us from all this stuff. Amen? We talked about last week, if they dig a hole for us, who falls into it? They do, not us, because he's protecting us from the wicked. Praise God for that. And from the adulterous, or the sexually active, if we could use that phrase here. Verse 16, it will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife who, with her words, seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she has made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Another passage says they're like a loaf of bread. They're stupid. Now, we can all admit sex is fun. It's supposed to be pleasurable in the right context. Amen? It's supposed to ignite a passion in you. And there's some cool stuff they're studying that shows there's a bonding that takes place in that act. And that's why when you have sex with people, either oral, covered, clothed or not, whatever kind of style you want, with someone that's not your mate, you're bonding with them. When I used to be a youth pastor, I would have kids put tape on their... No, I didn't do that. Someone else did that. I did the tape. I gave everybody a piece of masking tape, the old-fashioned mask tape that stuck. Now they got the blue one. It doesn't work as well. Okay, color this with me. Color this thing. I'll color it in. Okay, now I want you to go stick it with everybody and then stick and find somebody in the room and stick it together and pull them apart, stick them and pull them apart. What do you think happens? They have a hard time when they pull them apart, it tore. And then you're with them. That's the bonding and sex act. If you had sex with this person or that person, then you have that part of them, soul ties they call them in spirit warfare. And so you had, and so I showed the kids, this is what happens in spirit world. You may not see it. You may feel it emotionally. You may feel the physical jolt and the pleasure that comes from that and the emotional, you know, and you like this person. You're whipped on them, as they say. Oh, isn't this lovely? But you don't see the spiritual bond. And you're robbing your future mate as a result of that because your pieces are all over the place. Now, what's really cool is what can Jesus do? He can put your pieces, what?
Restore them.
Put them back. And what's the word he uses? Your faith has made you? Oh, boy, I get tears, man. He's made me whole again from all things that have been robbed from me. My soul's been robbed from all these, by all these people, but it's been made whole again. He's taken over here and over here and over. He knew where they're at. I didn't know where they're at. I like when we were kids, and if you blow it up with a grenade, can you get resurrected? Right? We used to love to ask the Catholic nuns these questions, you know, the priests. And one nun finally figured out the right answer. He knows where all your atoms are at. He can put you back together. Ooh, that's good. I like that. Okay, but we were a little smart people. But you get my idea? The sex act needs to be, what does the scripture say? Flee from it. Joseph, flee from it. Don't get involved in it. It messes you up if it's not with your mate. And it ruins the relationship with your mate because you bring these habits into the bedroom. And so you get, what does wisdom do? Protects you from all this. This the adulteress. Now, are there men out there like that too? Oh, yeah, they're antiquing businessmen out there. They want to antique you. They want to take away your virginity, take away your virtue. They want to antique you. And there are women out there today, they're so aggressive, it's almost amazing to watch. It's just not in our country. Yes, in our country. And lastly here, in this wisdom protects your lifestyle. The Lord will reward you. Notice that in verses 20 and 22, or through 22. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men, and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn. There's consequences to our activity. A number of years ago, Disney wanted to hire somebody to play the part in Mary Poppins that was Bert. And they were looking for somebody who was upright and a person of good moral choice. Someone who went to Sunday school, someone who was a good role model. Yes, this was Disney. And who did they end up getting?
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, who was a moral man, taught Sunday school class, and was just a very moral person. And it's just fascinating. And Dick Van Dyke said, I will not be in any movie quoting that I cannot take my children to see. And of course, he made a reprisal in the last Mary Poppins. They just made the remake of it. Yes. And he could tap dance still. Yes.
Every single thing he did was him.
Yes, isn't that amazing? That's when you let wisdom protect you, even into your old age. It guides you and guards you and protects you. Building families. Encourage your children by offering them genuine, bona fide choices. Teach them young to make real choices. As they get older, obviously, increase their involvement and their choices. And again, I say this a lot. I made up a phrase years ago when I was a therapist. You endure their tears now or you'll cry later. And I cry with them, unfortunately. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? There are people who don't listen to wisdom. Have you met them? And you say, look, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I want to put my hand up your back and open up your mouth. I want to make you a sock puppet, you know, and say, come on, man, let's do this, because you know where it's headed. I just found out recently that a Delilah showed up for somebody else recently. They're out there. They're out there. There's for every Samson, there's a Delilah, and for every Tamar, there's an Amnon. Wisdom makes you stay far away from those opportunities, far away from that situation. So teach them young. Give them bona fide choices. Now, you don't say, do you want to go to McDonald's or Burger King? Well, that's okay choice, but I'm talking about moral choices. You know, I shared this months ago, but when little Wayne had a toy, and on his own, he shared it with, oh my goodness, Seth. And it was beautiful to watch. He had a choice. And he was not asked, Seth didn't come over and try to rip it out of his hands. He said, here, you play with this. Well, how did he get that? He was trained. He was trained to share because he had choices. He could either be selfish or be giving. And it was really cool to watch. And he's really growing. By the way, Seth's changing a lot too. So kind of neat to watch this metamorphosis. But the point is, give them choices when they're younger, just like I share with my daughter's situation. I did. All my daughters at some point had those kind of choices. And the costs were less. But when they get to higher costs, my oldest daughter, she was engaged to a young man, and I had in my spirit, I didn't think this was right. They were mismatched. I even prayed that the guy that was doing the premarital counseling would say the same thing. He kind of did. I even gave her the Adventures in Odyssey, Connie edition with Mitch. Dad, why'd you give me this? Just listen to all of them. I don't know, because I didn't want to push her in the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? Because if I came in really strong, well, the Lord told me, not you. Boy, she's going to win. And so finally, the Lord opened up her mouth. Was it 2 weeks away or one? Yeah, 2 weeks before the wedding.
A week after the bridal shower.
Yeah, we already bought all the everything. The thousands or hundreds of thousands. Anyway, a lot of money. Yeah, I'll tell you. What wedding was this? Anyway, it was at least $1,000+ at least. So. Okay, I remember a lot more, but yeah. But she came to me and said, Dad, what do I do? And I said, well, you can marry him and have a horrible life and, you know, and be miserable the rest of your life. Or you can say no. I said this privately to her. And or you can not get married and be miserable for a few moments and get over it and find the right guy. That was truncated. I said a little longer than that. But I did say something. And the guy's a neat guy. They were just mismatched. So it was not that he's a bad guy or anything. It's just they just had different goals and visions for their future. But again, that was a hard decision, but somebody had to say something. And she later told me, I wish she would have said something. But I've seen many a parent try to intervene and push their kid away. So that's why I was kind of, okay, Lord, how do I handle this? And I was doing a lot of praying, and I thought, she loves Adventures in Odyssey, you know, Mitch and Connie. Oh, that'll work. Yeah. Well, she finally figured it out. But again, you got to let them make choices when the costs are less than when they're way greater. And then that's just let the Lord take the rest of it, okay? Jesus, point number two is you're passionately pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going after him. Take a few moments today, and I want you to ponder your choices. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit after I do this, okay? The scriptures are clear. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you shall reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you shall reap life. So there are consequences to our choices. Romans 6, 23 is another beautiful opportunity for that. What is it? Who knows it? The wages of sin is death, but the... And we thank God for the but. But, okay? And his argument, he's showing this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can't earn this. It's a gift, Okay? So, what kept me sane, because I was heavily into this performance-based stuff where I'm going to get my consequences and I'm going to hell and all this other fun stuff, the Lord showed me something in Hebrews. I want you to look at this. Hebrews chapter 12. And I almost fall over again, so if I do, I did have a few hang time. I grabbed the pulpit and it steadied me there. So, but man, my leg keeps going on it. I don't know what to do. Because I don't want to say that, Lord, but I can. Okay. I used to say, no one can touch my testimony. I have a very evil past. And because I was more of a Richie Cunningham, I was a Fonzarelli acting like a Richie Cunningham, nobody knew that. Because I did a lot of stuff under cover of darkness, as they would say. Scripture says it is shameful to mention what is done in secret. And for years, as a former Satanist, I'd wow the crowds with my testimony. And then the Lord showed me that passage in Ephesians, do not tell people what you did. It's shameful. Don't do it. So I stopped doing it. But I still had to be cleaned out of my past of being the retributive God. You know, if I do something wrong, boom, you're going to get hammered. You know, that God that's up there. But what does Hebrews 12:7 say? In my translation, it says this. Okay? Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, then you are a bastard, an illegitimate child, and are not true sons. Moreover, we all have human fathers who discipline us and respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. And that's the ontological good, the big good, that we may share with his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces what? A harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When you learn wisdom, you learn to receive the difficulties of life, the hardships of life, as discipline. And you know Romans 8:28, don't go there, but I'll stay here. I want to explain this a little more thoroughly, and it's real fascinating to me. Every sin that you do, you're supposed to do get what? Death. Real simple. Okay? That's what you're supposed to get. So we never, in Christ Jesus, we never get the consequences of our sin to that degree. Okay? That's gone. But whatever consequences we do get are what? For our discipline. There are consequences to our sins sometimes, but that doesn't lead to death. It leads to life because we're being disciplined by it. With me? So, we never get the full force of our sin's consequences. Beispiel, for example. Okay? King David's up on the roof, right? He's lounging around, should have been out fighting, but instead he was sightseeing. And see this babe out there. Woo-hoo! It's my buddy's wife. Cool. Can you have her come over? He's out in the front lines anyway. We'll just have her come over. So they come over, and what happens? Cohabitation. You know the rest of the story, right? A baby's born, or baby's in conceived, not born yet. And he discovers this because her period stopped. And says, whoa. Let's have my buddy come home from the war. I want you to sleep with your wife. No, I can't do that. My buddies are fighting my other buddies. Because he's one of the mighty men of David, Uriah was. I don't know if you knew that. And so what does Uriah do? How dare he? He sits out in front of the door of David, protecting David. David's like, you're ruining my plan. So we know the rest of the story, right? So David sends him to the front lines, says everybody pull back, and Uriah gets killed. David thinks he gets away with it, right? Have you read Psalm 51, 38, 39, 42? Just a few psalms, have you read those? David did not get away with it. So Nathan comes in and says about the little story about the sheep. Know the story? Yeah, this guy's big sheep and little sheep, and you know, this guy, he's taking care of the little sheep, and the big guy takes the little guy's sheep. And I like how Nathan says it in the Hebrew. You ready for the Hebrew? You demand. In Hebrew, you demand. It's you the man. There's no is there. And in Hebrew, when it has no is, it's right there. You, man. You're it. And what does David do? Does he go like King Saul and say, well, if it wasn't for my army, if Samuel wasn't late? No, what does David do? He immediately repents. Now, to receive the full force of his sin, what should have happened to David? He should have died. He should have died from stoning, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He took a life. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer who did die. The baby died. And we go, oh, is that a fair, just God? Well, where does the baby get to go? David gets to be with Jesus. Okay, so Paul, David is fasting and praying that perchance the Lord may spare this judgment. And then when the baby did die, and he goes, what does he say? Do you remember the story?
He got up and he cleaned himself up and he acted like the king again.
Yeah, and they said, hey, why are you acting like this? And he says,
because God has judged rightly between me and what I've done.
Yeah, he won't come to me, but I'll go to him. He's judged rightly. That's not receiving the full consequences of your sin. And that's what the Lord does to us. We don't receive the full consequence of sin. And what little we receive is for what? Our discipline, our good, because he works all things out for the good. And I did study this week in Greek. It means to the special. It's especially those who are called according to his purpose and who love him. It's all working out for the good. So no worries when you make a mistake. You don't need to do what I did or used to do. Beat myself up and you stupid idiot. Can't you do anything right here? What's your problem? You knew better. You're the preacher. You should do everything right. Walk on water. Ain't it like her? You know what I'm saying? This is so important for me to get through to you guys. I want to bang it into your heads to get you some freedom here. That you don't receive the full consequences of your sin. God's not mocked. You want to do foolish things. There'll be scars. Samson's a good example of that. Go and have a whoring time. Go out there and do whatever you want to do, but you'll lose your eyes and lose your strength. But there's always time to repent, right? Led Zeppelin, there's two paths to go by, but in the long, there's still time to change the road around. The truth is, there may not be. Like that opening video we watched, tomorrow's not guaranteed to anybody. You have just this moment. So now the next phase. And this the Lord had me do about a year and a half ago. The Holy Spirit came on me and I was weeping. And it wasn't a grieving weeping. It was just a weird place of weeping. And I've been on this long journey and it's something's been happening the last 2 years. But I started to thank the Lord for what he saved me from. And I can't share some of it with you because there's still, but he saved me from being a Satanist, that's easy. And the dark life that he saved me from. He saved me from being a baseball player because I was too crazy to play the game. I couldn't handle the up and down of the fans that Elway does. I couldn't have done that. Because, you know, I was a kid, I couldn't do it. You know, I hit these home runs, and everybody comes out to see me play, and I didn't hit a home run. Oh, he didn't do it. I hit four in a row in four games. And in the next game, I didn't do it. I did hit a base, hit a double and a triple, knocked in four runs, but that didn't count. And I'm putting my cleats on. I'm hearing people saying this. And I cannot picture 40,000 people in the stands watching me 3-2 count, bags loaded, and can Mike hit the home run to win the game, and he strikes out, and it happened once. You know? It was in front of five people, I think. But 50,000 people go, oh, right? You know that feeling? Oh, I'd be like Babe Ruth in the locker room, bang my head against the wall. So he saved me from that. And I can go on. He saved me from a ton of stuff. And you sit there and go, what did the Lord save me from? And only he can tell you. But he saved you from a lot of stuff. Amen? Oh, we are not where we were. And I like my little phrase, right? What you were yesterday, you are not today. What you are today, you're not tomorrow because you're being changed and transformed in the image of Jesus. You're all being changed, right? We are with unveiled faces. Get to behold his glory in the glory. Therefore, let him boast in the Lord because he's doing this all. So even when I do a sin, you don't have to beat yourself up. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from this sin. What consequences are coming? I will receive them as discipline. Make sense? It's not this groveling, oh, fire. There rests the ashes of Mike. What was left of him is in that hole. You know, whatever. We could go on with that. My prayer all week has been, in a lot of this morning, is that you receive that freedom today. That you realize that he has saved you from so much, so great a salvation we have. And just to grab onto that, I met with someone this week and we chatted a little bit about this and we shared some personal, I can't share obviously, but some personal stories of where we've been saved from, what we would have been. And I look at that because I was so devious and I thought I was Antichrist for the longest time. I'm Italian. We thought it was going to be Italian. No, he's like Muslim. But at any rate, you know, and the Lord said, no, 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 that's not you. That's not you. And it took three people prophetically to tell me that. It just wasn't in my head and my heart. Three people came and said, Mike, are you a Christian? They said, yeah. This is three different people. It's amazing that one day. I said, yes. Well, you can't be an antichrist because you love Jesus. Oh. One day, three people, same thing, exact same argument. And that was gone. And that was a burden because I was just very deceptive. You know, I'd go undercover. I did all this evil, you know, stuff. And, oh, I don't want to betray Jesus. And I was living with this gross, heavy weight. Anyway, someday I'll write a book after I'm done. I thought that was funny. But I want to encourage you guys today to think about that. So sometime today or whenever the Lord leads, you don't have to write them down. If you do write them down, it's kind of cool. You can't do, if you have a smoke alarm, this doesn't work. But I used to have people list, you know, list of things that Jesus saved you from or your sins and throw it in the sink and light it on fire. Stupid smoke alarms. They go off. Yeah, go outside for that. There you go. But I thought the sink was a safe place because you had water. You know what I'm saying? Okay, years ago, perhaps you were introduced to the lady or the tiger story. A famous king wanted to protect his daughter. And he wanted the suitors to be these upright, righteous men. And he figured out that the gods that be in his case, that whatever choice they make was fate, you know, and they would pick the right thing. So the right door. So they had one door on one side, was behind the door was a tiger. And the other side was the lady, his daughter. And so this guy was the suitor, wanted to choose his daughter, so he would go up there, and the story is well, the way it's written. They go up to, and he starts walking toward the doors, and the story stops. The story leaves you hanging because it wants to say, what would you choose? Which door would you choose? And of course, they go through the dropsies, eh? would you choose the lady? How would you know? What clues would you have? You know, do you smell? Would you sound? But none of that would work. You just had to choose. But we have an advantage. We have the book of wisdom. We have Jesus. Poof. And we're looking through glass doors. So we walk up to those doors and we see the glass doors. Ah, the lady. Ah, the tiger. And we choose. Which would you choose? Yeah. Yeah. Now, obviously, wisdom would give you, Lord Jesus would give you wisdom to not pick the tiger and maul you because it's a very hungry tiger. And it would not be a fractured fairy tale, okay? So, trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your wisdom. Our Lord, Jesus points prayer today because everything points to Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, today I choose you. Again, we're talking about a living, active faith. It's not something you did 20, 30 years ago. You're still living it today. I confess you as my wisdom. This is we talk about that positive confession. I confess you as my wisdom, my righteousness, and my redemption. Continue to transform me to be more like you. In your name, amen. Real simple prayer. And it's fun how the Lord answers these because you have this pause. In days of yore, you wouldn't have a pause. You just decide reflex. Instead of responding, you reacted. But the Lord Jesus gives you this pause, and you can respond instead of react. Now, you may still choose wrong. And that's where his forgiveness and grace fall upon you. Let's stand and pray this prayer together. Together? Lord Jesus Christ, today I choose you. I choose you as my wisdom, my righteousness, and my redemption. Continue to confess me to be more like you. In your name, amen. Father, you've heard the confession of your people. We know that you hear our prayers, and we look forward to the anxious anticipation of seeing how you will transform Jesus in us. Lord, we know that any difficulties, hard times, and trials are from your hand to make us more like your Son. So we receive these as discipline. And Father, we thank you that you make the rough places plain and the high places low, and you keep our feet from stumbling. And we know too, Father, if we do trip, that the righteous rise every time because Jesus is always picking us up. Thank you for that promise, Jesus. In your name, amen.